100, May 19th, 8 a.m. until midnight on WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
I'm Candy Shannon, and you are tuned to Member Support at WPFW, Washington.
And welcome to Community Watch and Comment for Tuesday, May 13th. I'm Dave Rabin. We are short our co-host, Jana Parker. She's the head of PG Changemakers, and she has to testify at an emergency hearing today on the PG County Council. So she won't be with us, unfortunately, but she's doing good work, and she sends her regrets, and she'll be with us real soon. And on today's show, the greater DC area may include half of the top 10 wealthiest counties in the USA. You know, you get a lot of numbers thrown at you in the news these days, but half of the top 10 DC wealthiest counties in the USA are in the greater DC area. I mean, it's rather extraordinary. You don't realize it, but we're you know, it's the federal cash cow, I think you can say. But hunger, with federal safety net and job cuts and a looming recession in the wake, is an increasing problem. But first, we're going to get to that. We have two wonderful guests, and we want to hear from you, our callers. If you're experiencing any kind of food insecurity, we want to hear from you. This is Community Watch and Comment, and we need your voices in the mix. But we are, as you probably are aware if you're listening to our airways, we are in the midst of our spring drive. We are a listener-sponsored station. We are the original model for listener sponsorship way back in 1949, well before PBS, well before NPR. Lou Hill came up with the idea of, like, let's get outside the commercial model and have our listeners support the radio airwaves, the radio station. And that's what we are a part of, the wonderful piece Pacifica Network tradition, and we need your support. And I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Ray Valencia. Are you with us, Ray? Maybe you aren't. Actually, I'm not sure that you are. I think you're not. Oh, I need to. That's because on this very wonderful Zoom apparatus, I need to admit, Ray. And I've just done the introduction, Ray, and you are with us, and we're talking about the wonders of Pacifica and the wonders of WPFW listener sponsored radio. So please chime in, Ms. Valencia, if you care to. I think you're muted.
Oh, hello. Good morning. Are you?
There
can you hear
are.
Me? Okay. So sorry about that. Yes, good
That's
morning.
Okay.
Thank you for letting me out of the lobby and all that. So it's so good to be here and part of WPFW. You know, David, this is a community project. We are all stakeholders in this. And I know a lot of folks have just started maybe tuning in to the station, and you know you want to participate. And we would love to invite you to join us here at WPFW.fm.org. Please join us. Make a donation today. It makes a big difference for us to keep our programming going. We are under an avalanche of news, as you can imagine, breaking headlines each day, bringing national stories with a local angle that highlights things that are important in our community. So again, we invite you to join.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. The number to call, if you can possibly donate, I know these are challenging, difficult times, but we need you to show the love. 1-800-222-9799. You can also, go online, WPFWFM.org. Credit card or debit cards accepted. PayPal is an option on our website. Cash App, $WPFWFM. There are so many ways to give. We've got a $500 goal. We need you to show the love and help us reach that goal. It's not so much helping us, it's helping the wonderful community resource that is WPFW. We need sustainers, we need new members, and know that I know tax year for this year, the filing or for last year is largely over, but it is tax deductible, and you can do it now and then take it off of your taxes when you file next year. But you know what? Enough of this fundraising. Let's get on with our important show. You know, there's lots of heady issues out there. You know, Trump taking a gift, almost half a billion dollar gift from a foreign country, and saying, you know, you'd be stupid not to take a gift. He's stupid in not realizing that there's a problem with that. You know, foreign influence on our politics. He doesn't realize that because, you know, there are smarter folks out there, more conscious, more ethical folks out there than our dear fearless leaders. I think that's what they call the leader of North Korea. Anyway, on with the show. The greater D.C. area may include half of the top 10 wealthiest counties in the USA, but hunger is an increasing problem even before the Trump administration began. According to a report by the Capital Area Food Bank, well over a third of households in the district and the Maryland and Virginia suburbs experienced food insecurity between May 2023 and May 2024. That represents a 5% jump over the previous year. So all this was happening well before Trump, but it's exacerbated by the Trump administration and its cuts in various ways. And notably, the largest increases in food insecurity were among middle-income families earning between $100,000 and $150,000. So we're not just talking about a challenge of food insecurity for lower-income folks. We're talking about very much middle-class, if not upper-middle-class folks, getting the hit as well. And one can assume the Trump safety net and job cuts are only exacerbating the problem, as I said. And joining us now to look at the hunger issue and its solutions are LaMonica Jones, Director of D.C. and Maryland Hunger Solutions, and Cassie Edner, Director of Virginia Hunger Solutions. Thank you both so much for joining us. It's great having you. And Cassie, there you are, Cassie.
Yes, thank you for having us, David. We appreciate
it's great. And Cassie, to the extent that you can get as close to your mic as possible, it's a little difficult to hear you. So please get that mic as close as you can. And I want you to both chime in on this as a question for both of you. We want to cover the whole DMV. What is the current hunger data? It's rather startling. The latest figure that I saw was, for example, in D.C., one out of 10 households struggle to afford enough food. Your thoughts on that, LaMonica Jones? I can't. There you
go. I'm here.
Everybody should just keep their mics on so you don't have to keep switching on and off. Hi, LaMonica.
Hi, David. Thank you so much for having me. And you're 100% right. The facts about, you know, hunger in D.C. Continue to be startling. You know, USDA put out a report back in 2024 that showed that about 9% of our D.C. households are experiencing food insecurity. And, you know, we still continue to have some of the highest rates of older adult hunger in the entire nation. And so when we think about what we're dealing with in the district. We have, you know, quite a few families in DC and in Maryland that are experiencing hunger. And so we have, you know, about a little over 141,000 households in DC that are experiencing, that participate in SNAP, and over 650,000 families in the state of Maryland that are relying on SNAP benefits. And so the thought of SNAP cuts within this new budget reconciliation process is really harmful, and it's really disastrous to our households and to our families that are relying on SNAP as a safety net and as their first line of defense against hunger.
And your thoughts, Cassie Edner from Virginia Hunger Solutions.
Yeah, we're seeing a similar 10% of Virginians facing food insecurity. You know, with the increased cost of food over the last several years, it's been really difficult on families to keep up with that. And the information related to the cuts were just released recently by the Ag Committee, and it's really concerning how those cuts are going to hurt not only families who participate on SNAP, but even schools, grocery stores, food banks. It's really terrifying. And currently there's about 864,000 based off of April individuals in Virginia participating in SNAP. So really concerned with what we're seeing.
So you've got tremendous pressure on families, individuals, lower income, and as I said earlier, even middle income, but it's particularly acute for households with children. If you could both talk about that, if you want to take it away, Cassie, and then we'll go to LaMonica.
Yeah, for our SNAP recipients, we about 50% of the households. You're still having issues hearing me? Let me try one more. Is this better? Is that better? No.
Yeah, a little better. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're currently have over 50% of SNAP households have children in it. So a lot of the cuts would harm families with kids. A lot of the cuts would harm families with seniors and families that have members with disabilities. So that, you know, the cuts would be really strong for those families.
To Cassie's point, you know, when we think about SNAP and when we think about the cuts to SNAP and the cuts to Medicaid, one of the things that, you know, we can't leave out of the equation is the fact that, you know, many of our students that are receiving free and reduced price meals, their eligibility is determined based off of the fact that they live in SNAP and Medicaid eligible households. So when we factor in the cuts to these families and these households, it's not just the SNAP benefit itself that's going to be impacted. The impact is also going to be felt in our schools for our students that are receiving free and reduced price meals. So although the House did not, there were no cuts to school meals within the budget, those direct cuts to SNAP and Medicaid and our other wraparound supports have an indirect impact on our students receiving free and reduced price meals. And we know for many of our students receiving school meals, that's their first line of defense against hunger because they're spending the majority of their day either in school or in a early childhood development center if they're, you know, birth to age five.
Yeah, it's very serious. This is, we're not playing games here. This is not just theoretical posturing here. We're talking about people actually, you know, being food insecure. I mean, it's certainly not as cute as what's going on with Gaza or other places in the world, but, you know, we are not in some bubble that is protected from food insecurity. And it's really something to be taken quite seriously. If you both could talk about what the impact is, particularly on Black households in the DMV, it's important to understand that, I think.
So in DC and Maryland, and I think, you know, for all of our many other states, we have, you know, exponentially greater rates of food insecurity for our households of color. So in DC, this primarily affects our households east of the Anacostia in Ward 7 and 8, which is where we have the highest percentage of our SNAP and WIC households. It's also where we have households that are experiencing the lowest food insecurity, the lowest income rate across the district. And at the in that same vein, you know, when we're looking at Maryland, it's impacting our households of colors, households of color as well, in areas such as Baltimore City, PG County, as well as on the Eastern Shore. And so when we think about how individuals are able to access their benefits, when we're thinking about benefit adequacy, so whether or not these benefits, SNAP benefits, are enough to meet the basic daily need of feeding yourself and nourishing yourself, we can't forget to take into account just the impacts on our households of color and what this means for them, knowing that, you know, racial disparities are a very real thing across DC as well as in Maryland.
Your thoughts on Monica Jones?
Yeah, that was just me.
Forgive me. If both of you could keep your cameras on, then it'll help me. It won't be broadcast, but it would help me if you both could have your cameras on to facilitate someone with questionable hearing abilities. Kasi, if you could chime in on this particular issue, the impact on Black families of hunger, hunger stress in the DMV, or particularly in Virginia.
Yeah, unfortunately, we see the same thing that DC and Maryland are also seeing. We previously talked about the food insecurity rates being around, you know, 10% in general. But when you look at food insecurity for individuals of color, that jumps up to above 20% in most of Northern Virginia. And in some counties like Arlington and Alexandria, that's up to 28 to 27%. So you're really seeing the difference of hunger based off of race, which is, yes, devastating.
Yeah. I believe that we have someone that wants to chime in, Willie Hamilton, someone with lived experience, if you will, with the hunger issue. Willie Hamilton, thank you very much for joining us. If you could tell us about your experience. Are you with us, Willie? I had you before. But maybe I have you no longer. He's no longer with us? Okay. So much for that. We would really like to hear from callers, particularly if you have any thoughts on this important issue. It's kind of the basic primordial issue of existence. You know, you get enough food to eat. Chime in if you care to 202-588-0893. We're going to take a little break now for fundraising. And Willie Hamilton, if you care to, maybe our engineer can contact you and get you back on. We'd love to have you join us. It's important to hear the voices of people that are actually impacted by this a crucial basic survival issue, i.e. hunger. So what do you think, Ray Valencia? It's an important program, no?
It's a very important program. You know, and I was just thinking, and when we get back to it, I'd like to hear from the ladies how they're coping with the recent Trump administration's kind of crackdown of Muriel Bowser about, you know, clearing out places where, you know, people that are unhoused have been having to camp, or they're in tents, or they're like around the city. So I think this has probably caused a lot of displacement. And, you know, this is why WPFW-FM radio is so important because we cover stories that you're not hearing much about in the mainstream press. We are bringing this down to a local level. How is this impacting people that live in the city? How is this disproportionately impacting people of color? And that's what we're advocating for. This is like revolutionary radio. This is time for us to participate and get serious in bolstering the truth to power messaging and guests that we bring on to bring you closer and more in touch with the community. And we have a goal to meet today. We need to keep the lights on, keep the engineers running. We are largely resourced by volunteers. David and I volunteer. We're both journalists. We both really care about covering stories in the DMV. And we need your help. We need your help today. If you could please call us at 202-588-9739. It would mean the world to us. Or visit us at WPFWFM.org. We could also accept a Cash App, WPFWFM.org. We've been on the air for 48 years, and we look forward to remaining on the air with you for another 48.
Thank you, Ray. It's well put. And we should say that, you know, we take credit cards, we take debit cards. We love sustainers. Ray and I often joke about Ray is a consummate espresso cappuccino consumer.
Oh, yes.
And you say, you know, for three Starbucks, you know, now it's getting to the point, two Starbucks, you can give, you know, as little as $10 a month as a sustainer. You can always cancel out if times get tough. We certainly understand that, but sustainers are always welcome. New members are particularly welcome. Credit card, debit cards accepted. PayPal. You can find the PayPal option on our website. You got Cash App, $ WPFWFM. We've got a $500 go. We are nowhere near it. We need you to step up, make the call. It makes the difference. We're in our 48th year here, just had our anniversary. We are going strong. We are, I think, important, particularly given the political crisis that we're under. We're particularly important right now. So please show the love. And what is the number that people can call again, Ray?
It's 202-588-9739.
Or you can do 1-800-222-9739. And I think we need to get back to the topic at hand, and we would really appreciate people calling in. We want to hear from you, need to hear from folks what your thoughts are about this extraordinarily important issue, particularly if you've been impacted or challenged with hunger issues here in the DMV. Want to hear from you. So we've got, as we've said, a serious problem. Can both of you, why don't we start with Kasi, talk about the threats to programs that actually are getting cut or are threatened with getting cut, both federal and otherwise.
Yeah. Can you hear me now better? I tried to make some adjustments.
I'm sorry, what's that?
I was hoping that you could hear me better. Okay. Can you hear me now? Okay.
Go ahead. It's all right. Just go ahead, Kasi. We'll make do.
Yeah. So currently we just, the release was the Agriculture Committee's proposals for SNAP cut. Unfortunately, they were worse than I thought that they were going to be. I guess I was optimistic all the cuts weren't actually going to be cuts. They now have a state share for SNAP benefits. So how it used to work is the federal government used to pay all of SNAP, and then the administration of SNAP was 50-50. They now have a SNAP state chair that they are trying to pass that starts at 5% the state will have to pay, but it's dependent upon error rates. And this has Virginia, with our current error rate, paying about $353 million more a year for SNAP benefits. So what does that mean? Virginia can't afford $353 million a year. So what are they going to have to cut for SNAP is my number one concern. And who is this going to hurt? Like I said, this is going to hurt children. This is going to hurt seniors. This is going to hurt individuals with disabilities. This is going to hurt grocers, especially grocers and food deserts. I was talking to a gentleman the other day who has a grocery store in a food desert. And he said, why do you think our grocery store is there and there's not other grocery stores? Because food deserts aren't bringing in a significant amount of money like other places where there is our grocery stores. So a lot of these food deserts, you know, rely on SNAP benefits. And if you take away the SNAP benefits, what are going to happen to those grocery stores? What are going to happen to the people around those grocery stores? So it's not only affects people on SNAP benefits, but it affects the whole community, which is really concerning. We're already seeing food banks struggling to keep up with the demand of food insecurity in the DMV area. How are states going to keep up with recession? You know, every dollar spent in SNAP benefits brings over $1.50 in SNAP economic activity during recessions. So this kind of is like, you know, every little bit affects every little bit else. And it's going to, you know, spin where I'm definitely concerned about food insecurity. I'm not just for, you know, my clients, but also for the state of Virginia as a whole. And, you know, we're also seeing the changes to the time limits. You know, currently, most able-bodied adults without dependents have to work and show that they're working and show that they need 20 hours of work and provide that paperwork to the Department of Social Services, or else they can only get SNAP for 3 months in a 3-year period. These changes increase the age limit. So it's going from 54 to 65. And it also is increasing that requirement for people with children. So now individuals that have children older than 7 will now have to meet this work requirement, or those parents are going to be cut off of SNAP. And that's going to harm children. And that's going to harm families, and that's going to harm schools, because the amount of federal reimbursement a lot of schools in Virginia receive is based off of how many kids are enrolled in SNAP benefits, as well as Medicaid. So it's just really concerning, these cuts that we're seeing. And I think we have to, you know, make sure we're able to, you know, to try to fight some of these cuts, because I just don't know how SNAP is going to recover from these cuts.
Thank you, Cassie Edner, Virginia Hunger Solutions. Your thoughts about the various potential or actual threats to funding sources from the federal government elsewhere, LaMonica Jones?
Yeah, so, you know, Cassie shared some of the same concerns that we have here in D.C. as well as in Maryland. And so when we initially got word of potential cuts to SNAP and Medicaid, we were looking at about $230 billion in cuts to our SNAP benefits across the entire nation. That looks like, you know, a heavy impact here in the district as well as in Maryland. And so now that the House Ag Committee has shared their budget reconciliation text, which they are voting on tonight as well as into tomorrow. When we look at this in the district, as well as in Maryland, we're looking at, with that, DC and Maryland would both have a 25% cost share that they would have to take on because they have an error rate that is higher than the 10%, a payment error rate that is higher than 10%. And so what that means is that there have been payments, SNAP payments that have been issued out to families that were incorrect, whether it was overpayments or underpayments, those payments were still correct or incorrect. And so states have been penalized. They're being penalized essentially for that with their error rates. But as a result of what's in this budget reconciliation text, what we're seeing for DC, because DC error rate, I believe, was a little over 20%, DC is looking at an estimated $79 million that they will have to cover for their share for SNAP benefits. For the state of Maryland, their error rate is a little over 18%, I believe. And so what that means is we're looking at $375 million that they would have to cover for their portion of SNAP benefits. And also those administrative fees. So, and those administrative fees are used by the state agencies to cover staff costs and to cover everything else that they need to administer the SNAP program within their respective states. So, you know, if states have, many states are already dealing with budget deficits. Maryland just went through their budget process and they had a $3 billion budget deficit that the governor had to balance out this year. DC has, I think we are all very mindful of DC's very, very impactful and heavy budget cuts that they're facing. So what this means is if the state agencies are required to offset the cost of benefits with their own local funding, being in a deficit means that we have SNAP clients that are going to lose their benefits. Not to mention, I believe Cassie alluded to it, we have ABOD waivers that are also in place, which means that, you know, able-bodied working adults, those ages have now been impacted. So for the district, having a high number of older adults who are experiencing food insecurity, now you're saying that those older adults have to go back to work. You know, households with children under the age of 7 are now only the ones that are eligible for this work requirement waiver, this ABOD waiver, that number one, DC has had in place for years. And so we are essentially impacting the district, the DMV region as a whole, you know, in ways that other parts of our nation are not being impacted, namely because with all the federal layoffs that have happened, we're in a negative imposition because we have been impacted the most by these federal layoffs. And so we're looking at an increased number of households that will potentially be relying on SNAP as we go through the coming months and coming years if those jobs are not replaced. And so if states are having to offset the cost with their own local funds, we won't have enough funding in our local governments to cover what we need in order to assist those that are hungry. And that's exactly what SNAP does. And so it's really disheartening. It's really troubling. It's really frustrating. And it's very much angering to all of us that are advocating on behalf of our families that are just trying to do what is a basic human right, which is feed yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's a perfect storm, if we will. You've got all these cuts or threatened cuts. You've got all these layoffs. You've got a looming recession. It's a nasty cauldron, it would seem to me. We have someone who's, as they say, has lived experience. So Juliana, are you with us? It's great for you to chime in. We'd love to hear your story and how it's impacting you.
Good morning, Mr. David. Good morning, everybody. Well, as a single mom of 3 and also worked part-time at the time, also going to school, I graduated yesterday, finally. But
congratulations.
Thank you. It has been very tough providing food for my 17-year-old son, my 13-year-old daughter, and my 5-year-old son. So, you know, whoever has children knows boys can eat. Boys can eat, especially while using all their energy throughout the day, so they're going to need food. I applied for SNAP benefits when I knew that it was kind of difficult already for me to provide food for my kids while also paying bills, paying rent, you know, don't have anybody else in the household. I'm the only adult. So I applied for SNAP benefits and thought that, you know, maybe I could get a little bit of something to be giving them food. First off, when I applied, the caseworker who was handling my case, I live in Virginia, so the caseworker who was handling my case, he put the wrong income information in, saying that I made more when I wasn't even making more. So I was only getting a little bit of SNAP at that time, which is when I was able to get in touch with Claudia and her department, and they were able to assist me in that with those issues. But having SNAP, it has helped a lot. Although I'm still not getting enough, I feel like being a single parent and you're also willing to work and not just sit at home. I understand with people having some type of issues that they won't be able to work and they can sit at home and get assistance from the government. But I feel like the parents who are single and staying at home, working like part-time or working while also going to school, should be able to get enough to help, feed their children. But even right now, I'm still not getting enough. I'm getting like maybe $83 a month, and that's nothing. With food prices going up, it's already hard for me to purchase food. I still have to work extra to see if I can get more food in the house. And I've gone to places like Alive, like churches, to get more food. And sometimes I don't get the foods that I want or my kids want. I'm coming from an African background. You know, we have certain foods that we eat. And I knew I grew up in America and I'm used to some of the foods here too. But SNAP benefits actually helps us get those type of, purchase foods that are from my country. And so with me not getting enough, it's kind of difficult still, but we manage. We try. My kids and I, we try with the food prices going up. We still try. It's a little bit difficult because now, it becomes a little bit harder. But yeah, that's my experience so far with SNAP benefits. I just wish that with everything that's about to change, I know it's going to affect us some more. If the government decides to either cut it or, it's going to really affect my kids and I.
Right. This is impacting, whatever decisions are made are very much impacting, families such as Juliana's. Thank you so much for chiming in. I think we have an additional caller. Are you with us?
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Your name, if you care to, where you're calling from. Do we have an additional caller? Perhaps not.
Hello?
Oh, are you there? Appreciate you calling in. Your name, if you care to, where you're calling from.
Yeah, this is D. I'm calling from Greenbelt.
Great. Thanks so much for calling in.
Oh, yeah, I was just calling to say, I appreciate your show. I listen to you a lot, and I think that this is this is serious. I personally, I'm not, I'm able to provide food for me and my family, but I definitely think about people. At one point, my mother, she was unemployed, and I remember how difficult it was for her. And so I'm glad that you all are talking about this. And I did just want to kind of follow up on something. People were talking about different policies, because I really do think that as we talk about food insecurity, I think on one of your shows, you had somebody from the DC Area Food Bank. And I just think about how they're good at, distributing food. But the real problem with me is poverty and income. And I wish that the people, these institutions like the food banks, did more to advocate for policies that would help to increase people's wages so they wouldn't have poverty in the first place and people could afford food. So that's what I wanted to just say, is I'm glad that you all started to talk about the current policies, and I wish that area food banks and other organizations would actually push for policies that can make wages better, housing more affordable, and healthcare more affordable.
I so appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much. I mean, speaking of food banks, I'd like the thoughts of our two guests. There's a federal program that's not under threat. I believe it was actually cut that hooked up. This is nationally and impacts us here locally in the DMV. That hooked up local farmers with schools and food banks in distributing food, and Trump completely cut it out. I mean, you know, we need to get rid of that waste, fraud, and abuse, not to mention DEI, I'm sure is in the mix there. I mean, it's extraordinarily destructive. I'd like your thoughts from my guest real quickly, and then we need to go to a funding break, about cutting out this extraordinarily important program that supported local farmers, food banks, and schools with fresh good food. If you could talk about that briefly. Go ahead, LaMonica.
Yeah, so when you know the local food for schools and the local food purchasing agreement, cooperative agreements were cut, it absolutely had a negative impact on for our farmers markets. I'm sorry, not farmers markets, but for our food banks, the senior nutrition boxes that they provide across the district, as well as those that offer services throughout the entire state. Luckily, the local food for schools, it wasn't impacted in DC and Maryland as much. But the LFPA funding was the one that really hurt our farmers, as well as our CU nutrition boxes that are being distributed across the district. You know, I've always say our farmers are core to our food system. And when we look at our programs and we address food insecurity, we can't leave off our farmers, our growers, our producers, because they are our major components. You know, we have to think about our programs and food insecurity and hunger and its root causes from production to consumption. And that includes the work of our farmers market. So it is very detrimental, the loss of the LFPA as well as the LFS funding at the federal level.
Any thoughts you might have, Kasi Edner?
Yeah, so again, when you heard, I think what, you know, just to uplift what LaMonica said, when you hurt, you know, one part of the ecosystem and you're hurting another part of the ecosystem, it's it really affects food security in the state and in the DMV area. So any cuts is really concerning to that ecosystem.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to take a little pause for fundraising, take a little break from this terribly important issue. What do you think, Ray Valencia? Important issues that we deal here with the Community Watch and Comment, the Tuesday edition.
Oh, yes. Well, I've been following the continuing resolution process, and I just was reading yesterday about the different eligibility requirements that they're raising for Medicaid and for SNAP programs, and the overpayment and the effect that this is having on people. And it's just, you know, the impact that it's having on our community, particularly since we don't have statehood, we don't have the legal, we don't have the lawmakers. And so this is what I would like to ask our community. We really need you now more than ever to, we're all stakeholders in this, in order to keep our, the radio station going, to cover these kind of stations, because to hear from people in our community that are actually going through this process, how are they coping? It's also a call to action, how we can embrace our community. And so we're asking you to join us in this effort. It's really important. It's been the history of our station to highlight and shine a light on the darkest places and to bring light to this story about how people in our community are struggling with the weight of this new administration and what they're doing in order to try to just get more tax breaks for the wealthy.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
I think we can safely say that, you know, it's an expression of, I think, you know, that the hunger is an expression, I believe, of how capitalism is eating up, arguably eating up our entire society. It's eating up our awareness, our consciousness. It's insidious. It affects how our government operates. It affects how our economy functions, how we even perceive each other, and certainly our media. I mean, it's you don't realize that you're in this system until you try to step out of it, but it's important to fight it. And one way you can do that is supporting this station, supporting listener-sponsored, non-commercial radio, mm-hmm. WPFW. We're not inundating you with commercials like just to where about everywhere else on the dial, but mm-hmm. we are listener-sponsored, and we need to come to you so often and seek your important support. So please step up. We have a $500 goal. We're nowhere near it. We need you to please chime in. 1-800-222-9739. Make the call that makes a difference. It's not so much for this particular program, but for the health of the station. We need your support. You can do it also by going to WPFWFM.org. Credit cards are fine. Debit cards are fine. PayPal is fine. You can do Cash App, $WPFWFM. And we've got a $500 goal. We're nowhere near it. As I said, we need sustainers. We need however you can give on a sustaining basis, a one-time basis. That'll be fine. New members would be particularly appreciated. And all of it is tax deductible. So please show the love. Make the call that makes a difference. Again, the number is 1-800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org if you want to do it online. This is our only fundraising show during this drive. So if you appreciate what we're doing here on Community Watch and Comment, we need you to step up and show the love. And let's go back to our guests. I want to hear from both LaMonica Jones and Cassie Edner of Hunger Solutions in the DMV. How are you all supporting people specifically in their effort to fight the food insecurity that so many of us face? And it's, as I said earlier, it's not just low income people, particularly with all the federal government layoffs, it's middle-income folks that are challenged. Why don't we start with LaMonica Jones? How is D.C. And Maryland Hunger Solutions supporting people in their effort to fight this food insecurity?
Yeah, so in both D.C. and Maryland, we work with our SNAP clients regularly, and so we offer direct service to our households and our families. So if they have any questions or any issues or concerns about their SNAP case, we're ready and we're available to assist them with answering any questions, working with our state agencies to mitigate those challenges. So, again, addressing benefit adequacy and benefit access. We also work really closely with our legislators in both DC and Maryland to figure out what is it that we can do at a local level? How could we improve benefit access? What local funding can we allocate to our households, because you know the federal minimum is not enough to meet the need that we have for our households. We're also out in the community regularly attending events so that people just understand, you know, doing pre-screenings where, you know, many of our older adults, our veterans, they feel like they're not eligible for SNAP, but then once we have them go through pre-screening, they finding out that they are eligible for SNAP. And so we make ourselves available and accessible in both locations, as well as partnering, you know, with our sister agency of they apply for benefits in one state, they may utilize them in another state. Virginia are so close together. And outside of that, we make sure that we're regularly reporting on what's happening. So now that we know what House Ag Committee has laid out in their budget reconciliation, waiting for DC's mayor for the mayor to drop her budget.
You coming back, LaMonica?
We've already gone. Can you hear me? Okay, so you know we're connecting, working with our legislators to find out, you know, what is it that we can do to make sure that we're supporting our SNAP clients, and part of that is regularly reporting on the facts and the data so that we're sharing with residents in both DC and Maryland what does hunger really look like? You know, how are these impacts going to be felt and how are they going to be tangible in our local areas so that even folks that are not eligible for SNAP and that are not utilizing these programs, they really, really understand that it's not just numbers on a paper. And it's not just a budget that the government has to pass, but that these are lives that are at stake. So we make sure that we're the thought leaders behind that. And that includes reporting on impacts from SNAP all the way up to school meals, even to how this impacts our communities and households of color.
Right. Thank you. LaMonica Jones of DC Hunger Solutions and Maryland Hunger Solutions. And Cassie Edner, your thoughts and just real quickly, how Virginia Hunger Solutions is stepping up to assist people with hunger challenges.
Yeah, we also provide advice for individuals that have issues with their SNAP or if they want to find out if they're eligible. Our number to call for our SNAP helpline is 866-753-SNAP. We also have a SNAP calculator that's easy to use to see if you qualify for SNAP. It's just vpclc.org/SNAP calculator. We had previously focused a lot at the state legislature trying to improve the SNAP program at the state level. We did many great things over the last several years for SNAP that I'm super excited about. And like LaMonica, we're trying to get an increase in the SNAP minimum benefit for seniors. And right now, our main focus is on the federal level because of everything that is going on with the federal level. So we are doing advocacy there as well. We really hope individuals that are listening to this are, you know, would be willing to uplift and contact their legislature about these cuts. And then I know, I forget who the caller was, but they mentioned some of the other issues that affect poverty. Virginia Hunger Solution is a project of Virginia Poverty Law Center. And anyone that's interested in other topics like consumer law, domestic and sexual violence, elder law, health law, family and child welfare, housing advocacy, we have information on our website about that and many other areas that we are currently working on. And hopefully I did it, so we are at time, but anyone that wants to reach out to us, feel free to give a call to the SNAP helpline, and we'd love to hear from individuals in Virginia.
That's Cassie Edner of Virginia Hunger Solutions. We've also been joined by LaMonica Jones of D.C. and Maryland Hunger Solutions. Thank you so much for joining us today and for all that you're doing to support citizens in the greater DC area.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you for having.
Really appreciate it. And that's, we are near the end. So what do you think, Ray Valencia? I think we're dealing with some important issues here on Community Watch and Comment.
Yeah, it's a very serious issue, what we're confronting over the next several months. The impact that it's going to have on folks, raising eligibility requirements, raising the age from 54 to 64, the impact this could have on people with disabilities. So many people on programs like this have disabilities or other reasons. And then I hear the government talking about employing some kind of volunteer program in case you can't find a job. It's just the whole thing, the whole framework is just ridiculous, and the impact that it's going to have on people. And that's why listening to WPFW and community radio is so important, because we're talking about that, our community, and the impact that this is going to have on our community. And it's a call to action today. It's a call to action to pick up the phone and visit us on CAP app. You can visit us. You can call us at 202-588-9739. Cash app is $WPFWFM.org. And we appreciate anything you can do.
Yep. Thank you, Ray Valencia. Again, 1-800-222-9739. Go online, WPFWFM.org. We are just about out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks to Mike Nocella for pulling us through this wonderful wonderful engineering skill. Stay tuned for the wonderful, extraordinary Lady Murr. Have a wonderful week. Stay safe, and we'll see you next time.
Malcolm Lives,
an event of spoken word commemorating Malcolm X's 100th birthday and paying tribute to the last poets, happening Wednesday, May 14th at the Black Cat, 1811 14th Street Northwest. That's 1811 14th Street Northwest. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. Details including performing lineup at blackcatdc.com. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
We close our spring pledge drive on May 19th, 8 a.m. until midnight, with Black Shining Prince, Malcolm X at 100, celebrating and unpacking the life and legacy of one of the most brilliant and charismatic intellectuals and pan-Africanists of the 20th century. The title is a reference to Ossie Davis's eulogy of Malcolm X, where he referred to him as our own Black Shining Prince. The teachings, speeches, and writings of El Hajj Malik El Shabazz continue to guide millions around the world in their quest for liberation. That's Black Shining Prince, Malcolm X at 100, May 19th, 8 a.m. until midnight on WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Wondering how to get WPFW swag in your life? Items that say, I support jazz and justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. Details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
On Thursday, May 15th, the 77th anniversary of the ongoing Palestinian Nakba, or catastrophe, and the people's resistance, Radio Free Palestine will launch at 8 a.m. until 7 p.m. on WPFW and stations across North America to air programming from producers across five continents. There will be separate streams in Arabic, English, French, and Spanish. Our presentation will be in English and include discussions, speeches, music, poetry, and updates. That's Radio Free Palestine, beginning at 8 a.m., May 15th, on WPFW, Radio for the Resistance.
In celebration of the life and legacy of activist and composer Bernice Johnson Regan, Wise Regan Arts and Strathmore presents Over My Head, I Hear Music in the Air, a night of song, poetry, and reflection, featuring Toshi Regan with special guests Liz Wright, Alexis Pauline Gums, original members of the Freedom Singers, and more. Friday, May 16th at the Strathmore. Information at strathmore.org.
The WPFW Local Station Board will host a town hall meeting on Saturday, May 17th from noon to 2:30 p.m. at the New Bethany Baptist Church, 1300 10th Street Northwest in Washington, D.C. Our theme is WPFW, Still We Rise. Featured speakers include representatives from station management, the Pacifica National Board, our programmers, and LSB volunteers. Listeners are invited to learn about new initiatives, finances, our search for a new home, and more celebrations as we continue in our 48th year of operation. If you cannot attend in person, you can tune in via Zoom. Details will be posted soon on the WPFW website. Through turbulence, transitions, and triumphs, Still We Rise as a community-powered radio station uplifting peace, justice, cultural expression, and the music that moves us. We look forward to adding your voice to WPFW for the unheard, as a rhythm for the people, and a light in times of darkness.
WPFW.